We are so honored. I am very honored to have John with us right now. And John McAndrews standing by for us. Good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. I'm just telling my listeners out there what a talented pianist and songwriter you are. I've been listening to this new album within the last few days or so, and I tell you, I am just enthralled with the music and the sounds, and especially the piano as well.
Well, thank you so much, man. Don't stop now.
Oh, I'm not going to. You know, I gotta say, this is a thrill, because I said, you know, when I found out that you were going to be on the show, and I actually played a couple of the cuts a little while ago this morning, and one of the songs, I mean, we'll talk of some of the music on here. I think one of my favorites off of this new album, which just recently was released in May, it's kind of an upbeat song. I love the song. It's Only You, but I think the whole thing. You started off, you know, with the cut, Better Side of Me. So first of all, John, once again, thanks so much. But give us an idea on who John McAndrew is and how you started with the music business as well.
Well, thank you, Dom. And I appreciate, you know, it's nice to hear that day after Father's Day and the compliments on the record. I'm originally from Minnesota, among other places, but that's where I kind of cut my chops playing live music and playing in the bars and rock and roll and country. And I started to write original music and got a little bit of a break. Someone from Nashville came up to see me play and brought me down there. And that led to me getting kind of my first record deal at a place called Muscle Shoals Studios down in Alabama. And when I did that album, I pretty much fell down south and met my wife and then really started learning the songwriting and, the art of songwriting from a lot of really great people that had experience in it. And all that kind of led to L.A. and some connections. And lo and behold, Denny Seiwell, who founded Wings with Paul McCartney, he decided we would, produce a record. We actually went out, speaking of Only You, just to record a couple songs for fun. Denny and Fernando Perdomo, who's playing guitar on all this stuff on the album, had a little studio. And Denny goes, let's record a couple songs. So we did Only You and Up on River Road, some of the first tracks. And what you hear in the album is us just, we hit the record button, and that's what happened with Only You. And Denny goes, let's do a whole record. So that's how, encapsulated how it all happened.
Yeah, it's amazing to me, as I read that little item that Danny put together. But I was also very impressed. You also have another legend of music that really has basically got you inspired as well, and that's the legendary Eric Clapton, also doing another nice little tidbit of information for you as well.
Yeah, I got to do a concert for him and a celebration and spend a couple days with him, and an amazing musician, an amazing person. And I've just kind of been lucky to step in some fortunate places, and being around some people that are successful. And the one common denominator with all these people are they're pretty humble folks, and grateful for what they got. And we wanted to do an old-fashioned album, Dom, where you listen from the beginning to the end. It's kind of a old concept.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, that's exactly what I did when I first heard most of the music. I've actually heard every track of it as well, and also on some of your older albums, even the album Just Piano, I Am Home, Forgiven, Souls, Walking Back in 2019. But some of the songs, I'm listening to them and listening to them, and I had to listen to them again. And then at some point off of my computer, I put a little headset on, and of course I'm thinking, I got it. This guy is like talented. He's doing this and he's doing that, and just the songs going back and forth. I mean, like, they've got a beat to it. A lot of it's humble beginnings, but also there was also another event. That really it got me listening to you, and also reading about you in your bio. That a lot of them also you have a couple of them in movie soundtracks as well.
Yeah, we were really lucky. I had written a song a long time ago for General Colin Powell. I was at an event he did, a national town hall meeting for America's Promise, and his little symbol was this little red wagon, and mm-hmm. I wrote a song for them, and it became sort of their theme song, and then it sat for years, and I had a friend in L.A. that was working on the movie about Zach Bonner, mm-hmm. who was a little kid who walked across the United States, and last minute we submitted that song, and I remember the director said to Chris Sabelli, my friend who was editing that film, said, "Are you kidding me? This song is perfect." So we kind of got in, you know, lucky the back door that way, and we hope to get a couple of these songs in this new album too, into some films or, you know, some licensing somehow.
Yeah, and of course, in that motion picture, I mean, even some of the other stuff that you've done, it's several like Jesus, Mary, and Joey. That had big stars: Olympia Dukakis, Charles Durning, Stacey Keach, and then the other one you mentioned, Jake's Corner, Diane yeah. Ladd, and Richard Tyson. Who a lot of people may not know who Richard Tyson is. He played sort of a kind of a bad guy opposite Arnold Schwarzenegger in Kindergarten Cop as well, right?
Yeah. My producer, Ken Polk, was working on those films, and that's how we kind of got those songs, you know, into that movie. And, you know, there's another song, I don't know if you've had a chance to hear it, The Ballad of the Perfect Storm, about, you know, the perfect storm and the movie uh-huh. that was made, and James Horner got, but my agent and manager, Ed Keene, actually lives in East Boston, so... I hope he's listening today, but he and I wrote a song called The Ballad of the Perfect Storm, uh-huh. which we hoped to get into the movie, but we didn't, but we still may be out on the East Coast, kind of near you guys, doing right. some events with that song, so...
Yeah, you know, and you talk about all of these accomplishments and all the songs that you've done. I mean, I was listening, as I said, when I knew that, the publicist and John Lappin out of Vegas, who have been basically helping me for the last 6-7 years doing a lot of these interviews. I mentioned to him a couple of weeks ago, I said, hey, you know, we got to do this, we got to do that. He's got a couple of songs here and there. And there was one album that I listened to, the entire album. I actually now, I burned it for my CD, for my car now. And that was the album Good Enough back in 2006. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, and you know, some of the songs, I mean, every single song, there's not one cut on that album that you want to listen to at least more than one time.
Dom, how much can I pay you? You know, I appreciate you listening. You know, nowadays it's tough. People are busy.
Yeah.
I think music has become sort of background music, and mm-hmm. there's nothing wrong with that. But that album was produced in L.A. by Ken Polk. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty proud of it, and I just keep on recording, and... every once in a while, somebody like you will listen to it and mm-hmm. kind of give me some nice feedback. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, and you the know? Other thing is, you know, I mean, you mentioned kind of briefly earlier on this morning, some of the people that you listen to and who have inspired you, you know, growing up as well to be, you know, the singer-songwriter you are today.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's a little story. I was probably 10 years old. We were living in southern Minnesota at the time. And my dad played clarinet, and he had a brief stint with, like a lot of musicians do, with Stan Kenton Orchestra. Mm-hmm. And so he came back from the war and then raised a family, but he was always playing jazz music. My older brother was always playing Beatles and Grateful Dead, all sorts of stuff. But one day my older brother put out an album and this song came on, and I remember just sitting in my bed, and it just tore through me. And it grabbed me, and I think that was the day I realized how powerful music was. And it was People Get Ready by the Chambers Brothers. Mm-hmm. And I think from that day on, something really changed in me. I never took lessons or, you know, played piano kind of later in life. But I think that moment did something to me, realizing how powerful music could be. And, I hope it still is today, you know, and I hope when I write something that it can do that for somebody else. You know?
Yeah, and also, I mean, right now, you're basically a kind of a touring now these days in Nashville right now, and then moving on to Minnesota and then L.A. But also, you're actually going to be coming up sort of this area on the Cape, playing with Mary Woods, and basically most of the month of October down there on the Cape.
Yeah, we do. There's an event. It's a conference, which helps people and educators that help folks with mental illness, mm-hmm. substance abuse issues, and we do a thing on the power of music and recovery and sort of the spiritual and the medical benefits and all that of music. It was music, and it's a pretty easy thing to talk about, but we try to get the people to experience it and teach them to make, you know,
right.
to take that back to where they work. And Mary Woods is a wonderful person from New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm. You said it right. That's right. That's the way you said it. Yeah. That's exactly right.
For a Midwesterner, not bad. You know,
you know, a little while ago, you had mentioned, this one I actually read about it as well. You had mentioned about Colin Powell as well. There was actually one particular song that, it's also on your website as well. This Little Town, you know, talk a little bit more about that because you actually perform for Alan Tipper Gore as well, right?
That was, I did. And that song, boy, Dom, you've really done your homework. It's beautiful. That song is probably 25 years old, yeah. at least. But I wrote it when there was some stuff going on in our country and in our communities. You know, some violence and some people weren't being cared for, all that kind of thing. So I wrote that song, and it got the attention of some folks. You know. Both sides of the aisle, and I got to play it at events all over, and I was really proud of it. And Colin Powell came to Minnesota to do this event with a bunch of business community, and they asked me to open the event with that song. And then that led kind of to some other things, and it was actually Ed Keene who got me that gig for the 50th anniversary of NATO to perform mm-hmm. that song at the vice president's residence. And it was really intense. I know lots of musicians have played at the White House and all that, but not only was it the vice president and his wife, but there were 50 heads of state there that day, and they pretty much locked me in the bathroom until I came out to play the piano. But you know, it really, Dom, it really feels good to have a song that fits for something like that. And you know, I'll always try to do that in my songwriting.
Yeah, and you know, you also, I briefly was listening to an album. A couple of days ago, probably Friday. One of your earlier ones, "Forgiven," and I'm thinking to myself, boy, as I said before, you know, there's a lot of this, storytelling in that, especially in that album. And I like the way you said it. The journey is never over. We're always learning, you know. And it's a music expression. Is basically a lot of the songs that you're writing, you know, can come from different backgrounds. I know a lot of music can come from bluegrass and gospel and poems as well. And
right.
But that album has got to be one of the earlier ones really, if people have no idea what we're talking about, you just go to johnmcandrew.com and there's a whole bunch of tabs over there. You can listen to them online and so as well, or just get them or buy them, whatever it is. But that, I mean, that album right there, that must have had a lot of inspiration to you as well.
Well, thank you. And I would say that almost, you know, most of it, if not all of it, just comes from experience. And I think most of us, you know, the big deal is just being a human being. Mm-hmm. God, we have such expectations of ourselves and each other. And I think the just being human is we kind of fall down, we break, we stumble, we get back up. And the thing about learning, always learning, it just keeps me with a good attitude that, oops, you know, mm-hmm. I had to learn this, you know, okay, I'm going to get up and move on. And, a lot of that experience in my life, I kind of, like a lot of people, had an old life and a some major changes and then a new life. And I think a lot of that stuff's expressed in that Forgiven album. And Charlie McCoy is on there playing harmonica. And there's some great musicians, you know, some people from the Nashville Symphony.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really glad you listened to that album. Appreciate it.
Yeah, one of the other albums that I also looked at and listened to, a couple of songs, because they were really kind of songs that were made, I mean, years ago. I'm talking years ago. The album Just Piano. I mean, one thing that I liked about some of the songs in there, you brought it back, kind of a new release out of it. Misty, Caravan, Ain't Misbehaving, even Georgia on My Mind, Over the Rainbow, White a Shade of Pale. I mean, come on. I mean, all of these songs, you know, most of us grew up with, you're bringing it to a whole new sound out there as well.
But I got kind of I had a period in my music career. I don't want to play in the bars as much anymore, and I wish people were listening. And I got a gig playing solo piano at a really nice place in Minneapolis, and I didn't have the chops, you know, or the standards. And I remember one evening, an old fella, I took a break, and he said real loud, you know, he's probably hard of hearing, said, "I've been here for over an hour and haven't understood one song you played." And it really kicked me in gear, Dom, to learn some of these old standards. And so that's where all that came from. And I did that whole record in one take, probably took me about an hour.
Wow.
And I listen back on it and I go, oh, I wish I would have changed that, you know, or done it. but it's very live and just kind of inspired by it. Great melodies and great old songs, you know, that I was able to play.
Yeah, one album that's also on that website as well is, and I only listened to maybe two of the songs Saturday, I think, Saturday morning. And I'm thinking to myself, my God, there's so many great songs on this. And the album, it was entitled 10 Great Songs and Two of My Own. I mean, you have My Funny Valentine. Like, even you have the Christmas song in there. And I love you that you put together the Wizard of Oz song that Ray Bolger sang, If I Only Had a Brain. You're kind of putting new, you know, you're putting new feelings and new bouncings to some of these classic songs that have been around for years.
Oh, well, thank you. And you know, doing things instrumentally and then doing them vocally, instrumentally, it's all kind of different challenges. And, hey, I'm still kind of learning a lot of stuff, you know, about music. And what a fun thing to be able to do, you know.
Yeah.
I love my job, and I love taking some little chances. On the new album, Don, we had a few cover tunes, but we cut 17 tracks, and I give Denny Seiwell almost all the credit for how this came up. But he said, you know what, let's just do all original songs. We had some bluesy stuff on there. And I also did a Against the Wind by Bob Seger, which I kind of says a lot where I came from. But we decided to go with all original stuff on the Better Side of Me album.
Yeah, it seems like that you want to take a chance on this song. You want to, you know, but you want to do your own side of it. You want to put it together, you know, the way you would do it. And I will tell you that I had mentioned it on the radio on Wednesday or Thursday of last week when I was, you know, kind of looking through, you know, the bio and everything else. And I'm looking at the cover, you know, of the album, and one person came to mind, and I'm like, oh my God. And I showed the cover to somebody else, not here at the studio, but I, you know, at my other job, and somebody said the same thing I said. My God, John McAndrew, he has a little image of Elton John as well.
Well, that's not a bad thing.
No, I don't think so.
I'm taller, I'll tell you.
Okay,
I'm taller than Elton. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, gentleman who I work with at another job, and I was telling him about you, and I said, because he listens to this show at his home, and he was listening, and he said, and I said, my, and he emailed me, you know, maybe like 3 hours later, and he says, John McAndrew, like, you know, I don't know his music, but now he's listening to you, you know, and online and stuff like that. And he says, doesn't he know that he looks like Elton John? I looked at it on the album again. I went, a little bit here and there. I don't know. Maybe it's the glasses and whatever. And maybe just listening, you know, just basically playing on the keyboard.
Yeah. Well, I'll take that all as a compliment and tell your buddy thank you.
Yeah. Talk a little bit more about how, you know, when you're in concert, you're doing this and that. And I've said this to a lot of musicians on this program. You're going out there and you're getting, you know, the audience really appreciate it. The other thing is you want to see, you know, with your type of music, you know, the blues and storytelling, you would love to see a lot more younger people. And you actually have seen some younger people coming to the show because they're now appreciating, you know, this genre of music has been around for a long time. And some of the younger people who may be for the first time listening to this type of music.
Yeah. Doing concerts, Dom, something ignited in me a long time ago. I remember I went to see a very famous artist and paid some good money to go see him. And during the whole concert, he never looked up or said anything to the audience, which, you know, sometimes they don't have to. But I thought, you know, when I started to play and tell stories, I found that engaging the audience was just beneficial for the kind of music that I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been, you know, I work with a lot of kids, high school kids, doing various things with them. And I found they love to dance and jump up and down and sing. And then when you do that with them, you can talk to them about a serious subject. And so some of those kids now are listening. I'm really amazed how much old rock and roll they know because they're listening to what mom and dad's listening
to. Right, yeah.
And, you know, some kids want to be a big part of what's going on now, and that's cool, but some of them think it's cool to listen to what, you know, the old man was listening to. So I hope we can mix in some of that, you know. And but I think my music and the stories are you know, for people with a little more experience.
Yeah, you're right.
And, you know,
and one of the first songs that I listened to a while back on this current album, you know, not just Better Side of Me, but that it had a little bit more. Even I, you know, played it about 45 minutes ago here on the program was the song that we just mentioned a few moments ago, Only You. You know, but it's not the original Platters. It's a whole different thing. But I got another two emails. I'm actually looking at an email right now that a young lady who has been listening all morning long says, my God, she says, you got to play more of his songs. I love the song, but Only You had more of an upbeat feel to it. In fact, it was more of, she calls it, a toe-tapping song.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just a simple love song. And,
yeah.
And I love to play kind of that style of piano. And I think also when you don't do too much of it, you know, it can stand out nicely. Uh-huh. But I, you know, tell her thank you, and I appreciate her listening, and I love to tap my toes as much as I can.
Yeah, talk a little bit about this song, because I did not play it yet on the air early this morning. I'm hopefully plan on doing it maybe later today or early tomorrow. There's another song which is one of the last songs on that album, which I did listen to earlier, and I love the title, Me, My Soul, and My Heart. I mean, really does a lot of feeling in that one as well.
Yeah, that's about my old life, you
right.
know, and with, you know, mental health stuff, substance abuse, and somebody asked me what I lost, you know, during those years.
Right, yeah.
And I kind of stopped, and I went, boy, I lost everything. And when you kind of start a new life, it kind of propels me to not waste any time, you know, to treasure every moment, which is kind of from that song to the Before They All Slip Away tune, which is, you know, every day is a precious thing. And I used to waste a lot of them, Dom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And not that every day is going to be a bowl of cherries, but you know, look how good this day started off for
yeah,
me.
Exactly.
It's
right.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And yeah. it also has a lot to do, of course, the who you are, the singing and the songwriting and the playing, the music. But also there's also a couple of other songs off of that album that also feel you put your personal in there, like the song like Nobody Knows My Name, Freedom's in Our Blood, and, you know, Expecting Nothing in Return as well. I mean, those songs do have a lot of meaning, not only to you, but a lot of people, even you and I together as well.
Yeah, Nobody Knows My Name. It was about Ed Cain, my agent, who still is, got me a gig in New York in Manhattan in the theater district at a really nice club, a private club, and they had a three-piece jazz band that wanted to take some time off, so I got this gig to go in there and play piano. Man, I thought I'd been discovered, you know. Such a big deal for me, going to New York and finding a place to stay. But I soon learned, you know, that nobody knew who the heck I was in there, and I played away, you know, with my heart's content, and it was a tremendous experience, and my soon-to-be wife, Nancy, came out to see me, and that's the story of that song. You know, hoping one day somebody would know my name, you know, playing piano and singing. And I guess that's starting to happen, but I love the innocence of that time and those days, because you just, it was so cool, man. All these old jazz guys were hanging out in there and giving me tips and, you know, talking to me.
Yeah.
And fun time.
It really is. I mean, it's a song is basically, you know, it's, as I said before, you know, it could be a poem, it could be blues, it could be a gospel song here or there. But I got to go back to 2017. Now, this was an album that really had a lot of inspiration, the album Souls, because that blues album really had, I mean, a lot of people are saying, even online, it said it has a lot of comparison to the great Jimmy Webb, Paul Simon, and Harry Chapin, because it was inspiring, and it drew basically many comparisons to those artists as well.
Yeah, that album I did in Nashville on WBA Records, a nice label here, and my manager at that time ran that label with Larry Carlton. And there were a couple songs on there. There was one called Trying to Be a Man. I wrote about my grandson, who I saw. We live on sort of a hill here in Nashville, and he was learning to ride his bicycle, and he was coming downhill on this little bike. And of course, lo and behold, he tried to take a turn, couldn't quite do it, and ran right into our car on the driveway, you know. And a little five-year-old kid tumbles over, stands back up, and gets on that bike and goes right back up the hill. And I thought about that determination, you know, trying to be a man. That's what we do. We kind of suit up in this armor, and a lot of it is we find as we grow up kind of not of much use anymore, you know, banging our heads, trying to be the best or the first, you know, all that kind of stuff. That little song kind of inspired some of the stuff on that album.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I had another emailer out there just a few moments ago, and she says, what a wonderful piece of work that you are with the music. And now this other, actually, this is a second one coming in now. She says, it's one of our other longtime listeners, says, inspiring interview, wonderful gentleman with the singing this morning. Plus, also, this other lady who messaged me a few moments ago says, I've got to go online and get some of the music and download his album because it inspires me, you know. And I just played two or three songs earlier this morning, and the lady says, it's inspiring me not only listening to the interview, but also listening to the music that I played, you know, about 40 minutes ago as well.
Well, thank you all so much, you know, and I appreciate having the conversation with you, Dom, and I appreciate you listening and kind of opening the doors for your listeners. So I thank you all very much for that.
Yeah, I mean, the listeners have been with me for a number of years. I've been doing this gig, for 12 years, over 12 years, but I've been in the music business and DJing, for somehow like 40 years. I can't believe it. But there's so much music out there. And, after this album, it's now you're on tour here and there. Are you doing other stuff in the studio, writing more for possibly more music for next year as well?
Well, I am. There's a whole basket of some tunes that didn't make this record.
Uh-huh.
I'm also, collaborating with a couple other musicians on some projects right now. And I'm always writing. And Denny Seiwell and I and Quarter Valley Records, I guess we'll discuss some other stuff. But, yeah, I'm always, writing and doing some different things and working on projects. So I think, hopefully every time you do something, it opens up another little door and you walk through it and see what happens, So it's exciting for me.
It is. It really is. I mean, as I said, this album, I think, is an epitome of, life's travels every single day, whatever you're doing. And I got to give you credit. It's another great album. As I said, I've been, hearing here and there and there, listening to some songs here and there every once in a while. And this one, I gotta say, I mean, yeah, I think you did it with this one, because it's, I think, one song after the other is just gives you more people inspiration out there. And, a little bit, as I said, toe tapping as well. You keep that going on, and hopefully people will be, raising the volume on their radio as well, or their stereo system, or whatever they're playing these days, right?
Yeah, their earphones.
Yeah.
Their headphones. Yeah.
Unless they're still buying, now they're still buying needles, but record players are back now, too.
Well, they're back, and very few people have CD players anymore.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of figure out. Quarter Valley Records has a very innovative new thing called the Musical Bead, which I'm using as an artist. And it's just a little plastic card that you tap people's phones with,
mm-hmm.
and it downloads the complete album instantly, and videos and all my promo stuff, and all you need is the Musical Bead app and this little card. So I'm packing to go out on tour right now. And instead of boxing up a whole bunch of CDs and all that stuff, I just got these little Musical Bead cards that fit in my backpack, and it's a pretty cool thing. I feel really fortunate to be signed to this label, to have Denny, produce it,
sure.
And people like you listening.
I'll tell you one thing, definitely if people are going to be around the country, go to your website and basically catch you or buy these records or something like that. And John, you're doing something wonderful, and I want to thank you for the time this morning. I know you're kind of a busy guy these days, but I want to thank you. And I was looking forward to this all this past weekend, to speak to you for a few moments as well.
Well, thank you, and thank your listeners, and I'm going to talk to Ed Keene a little later today. I will try to get out there to do some dates. I think we're going to start in New York City, then kind of work our way around, and I'll give you a call when we're out your way.
Definitely do that as well, John. John, thanks so much, and
all right,
continue success.
Thank you all.
All right, bye-bye. Thanks again.